growth. And I heard the Lord say, I want you to speak to the people and let them know that I see that they're still standing. You're going to need to stay where you're at. We have been through a season, have we not? Not just a season that we would say, look at how good I have done, but look at what God has done. I believe over the course of our season of this year, we have seen God come through many times in many different forms and fashions, correct? And then we look back over what we have done, and it shows that he's been with us. Do you understand? Because if we try to do things ourselves with our plans, our blueprints, and what we think God said. And I'm going to say it again. What we think God said. Did we miss that one? What we think God said was coming from our soul. Our soul is true. We went on our emotions thinking that this is what the Lord has spoken. But he allows it so that we can begin to grow with what we believe we heard. And he uses that so that he can begin to mold us to understand when we have missed. Correct? Now, have you looked over your calendar and looked at the past and said, wow, I remember when God came through right there. When I should have been evicted. Car should have been picked up. Job lost. Relationships broken and wounded. But God came through in one way or another. He came through. And if we look back over that time, we realize that he was there all along. But we don't understand why he allowed it. Now, how many times do you actually see when you're doing exactly what God said, because you did hear God, and it mirrors what you did on your own? Maybe you didn't hear it right. When you do what God has told you and you're doing it as he said, you still come under the same attacks, even if you were doing it when you did it on your own. But we go back and we look and say, that couldn't have been God coming through. That was in my own gifts, my talents. See, when I have the individuals come up to do tithes and offering, or when Colleen comes up to sing, I don't tell them anything to do specific at all. Nor do I prepare my messages to tell you in advance, because how many times you know that it changes. But when you began to speak on the gifts, Lionel, it just reminded me that when we utilize our gifts to open doors that he did not allow. You see, the gifts will make room for you, but he didn't tell you where. You'll utilize your gift to open a door that he never allowed for you to enter in. And then all of a sudden you start going through what you're going through. But the mere fact you're going through it, he's there with you. That's a good God. Because you know how mom and dad would really done it. Pues mira, you got what you asked for. ¿Quién te manda? Who told you to go and do it? Ay, pero Dios. No, he didn't. You believe that we can make things happen on our own based upon our own ability. And I looked over the life of this ministry, and I began to look at different things that I did, different things that God did, and I began to see that they were still the same struggles. The same adversity still came. And how can I distinguish which one is which? Was it by the outcome? Because his grace and mercy is still in it when I miss and I hit the mark. So how can you distinguish when God has really come through? Have you ever asked that? How can you tell when God has really come through? Not looking at the fruit, but trusting in the peace, in his presence. So I told God in my prayer time, I got up this morning, I said, Lord, we've been through a very tough season as the body of Christ. The body of Christ has experienced so much attack, from outside influences to internal influences. And during this time, we get Christians to feel like they're doing something wrong. And the reality is we're pursuing the right thing. His will, his plan. And we need to know, God, is your peace that surpasses all understanding gonna be there with me? I said, God, I thank you that you have given me the ability to stand, because I'm still standing. How many of you still standing? Yeah. You may feel like you're knocked down. You may feel like you're going to give up, but you're still standing. You know how I know? You're here. Yeah, I can hear it already. I didn't want to come. I'm tired. Got nothing to wear. My house is a mess. I got to get things in order. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. When you put God first, he works everything else out. But we first have to know he's first. Not when you feel it. It's good and easy to praise God when everything's going good. Oh, some of y'all know how to get your dance on when you get your breakthrough. Some of y'all really know how to get your dance on when you get your breakthrough. We got to tell you, hey, you're in charge. Not that dance. But how about your dance and your praise when it hasn't come through? How about your walk to discover your destiny, that you still continue to praise him all the way through, even through the hard times? And I know that God is beginning to do something for the body of Christ, not because we're turning into a new season, a new calendar year, but there are dispensations of God. There are moves of God. And there's a perpetual move. I want you to understand that. There's something that he puts in motion that is perpetual. We just have to be in the right position to continue to go with it. Then there's moves of God that move your timing, your season, so that you can get put back into position. Do you understand? And we must take note. Turn with me to Psalms 48, please. Psalms 48, we'll start at verse 9 through 14. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. Psalms 48, 9. And when you're there, say amen. Psalms 48, 9 through 14, New Living Translation. I'll begin reading. It says in verse 9, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love as we worship you in your temple. As your name deserves, O God, you will be praised to the ends of the earth. Your strong right hand is filled with victory. Let the people on Mount Zion rejoice. Let all the towns of Judah be glad because of your justice. Watch this, verse 12. Go inspect the city of Jerusalem. Walk around and count the many towers. Take note of the fortified walls and tour all the citadels, that you may describe them to future generations. For that is what God is like. He is our God forever and ever. He will guide us until we die. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. Now prepare the minds and the hearts of the people to receive your word as it penetrates, as the seed form that goes into the very spirit and soul of a man. Let the pressures of life begin to break open the seed. But let it become fruitful to be multiplied in its season. Lord, we thank you that your word penetrates. And I thank you, Lord, that it's the Spirit of the living God that drives out everything that is not of you. Let us recognize, oh God, what is within our temple that is unpleasing to you, so that we willingly turn it over to you, that we don't enter into a new season carrying the stuff of the old. Let us shed and get rid of the old, but let us reflect back on the good things. And let us reflect back on the things that you stand for is your word. And Lord, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And I take authority over every spirit in this room and every infirmity in this room. And I thank you, Father, for the ability to call things not as though they already are. And I thank you that today in this service, Lord, may it be the last Sunday service of this year. I thank you, God, that we're still standing. And for every distracting spirit right now and every antichrist spirit, you are bound, for the Lord rebuke you. Now we move forward in liberty and the ability to praise and worship God with all our might, spirit, and soul. And I pray this now in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Do you believe the word that you just read? Do you need it broken down? Do you need to understand that he said, do a walkabout? Do a walkabout in Jerusalem. Do you know what that means? He says, I want you to go and walk around the city of Jerusalem, the church, and look at all the towers that are standing. Look at all the citadels that are there. Why did he say that to them? Because the city was in ruins. Okay, you don't miss this. You may have to take us up and get us out of this worship mode. Here's the thing. When we have had wars and we have had battles, we have had onslaughts that have come our way, you've got to go back and walk around and look at the towers that are still standing. What do the towers represent? He is the strong tower. He is. He's still standing right now. He's standing on your behalf. A tower was used for those to recognize when something was coming to attack. But what has happened to the church is we walk around with our head down. And we don't want to look to see what is coming. And we don't want to adjust ourselves for the impact. Now, living in San Antonio, Texas, many of us would say, we want the white Christmas. Christmas came and went, and we were in shorts, short sleeves, sweating. This has nothing to do with what we think Christmas is about. But Lord forbid that after Christmas there comes a front that blows in overnight. That you go to bed in one season and you wake up in another season. You don't hear me. You may go to sleep in some way and form thinking that your season is not going to change. But it's in the overnight season that the conditions change. And when it changes, it's because you are resting in him. It's because you have a high pressure and a low pressure that comes. What is the sign that the front is coming? The wind begins to blow. The wind begins to blow from the north. Come on now. From the north. Blowing in to your circumstance to get rid of all the junk that you've been going through. Well, some of y'all been having some issues with some pain in your body. Well, I can deserve notice to that very area of pain in your life. That the winds of God are coming your way to blow off the things of this past. Spirit filled the church. But before the shift takes place, you have got to take notice of all your battles. And take notice of all the pain. And as you start looking at over all of the injuries that you may have sustained, you got to remember one thing. You're still standing. You're still standing. Woo! Oh yeah, the enemy should have taken you out. Oh, but my word has come through back then. Don't you worry. Because when you look up, and the towers are still standing. There's someone in that tower praying for you. There's someone saying, that's my girl. That's my baby. That's my son. That's my daddy. That's my mama. That's my grandma. And that's my auntie. And I'm going to see them all the way through. Because I'm standing. And I'm still standing strong on your behalf. Come on, somebody. I'm just trying to greet you today. So he instructs, this is David writing the song, and he's writing, instructing them, go walk around. Now why would David write that? Because David was a warrior. David knew, I'm going to get hit in this battle. You don't walk into a ring thinking you ain't going to get hit. You're going to get hit and get knocked around. You may get knocked down a few times. But you're going to get right back up. Because at the end of that round, you're still standing. And it reminded me of a heavyweight fighter that came back out of retirement. His name was George Foreman. Then when he went to fight, between rounds, he wouldn't sit down. He would sit against the ropes. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't want to hear this. I may have been getting hit, but I ain't sitting down between rounds. I'm going to put myself against the rope. I'm going to hold myself up. I'm going to regain my strength. And when I come out, when the bell sounds, it's on like Donkey Kong. Because I'm coming at you, and I'm coming at you strong. I may be old, but I ain't over, and I ain't done yet. Because I'm coming out to fight. David knew this. David said, go walk around. Go walk around. And take notice of what's still standing. In fact, you went through some stuff this year. You know, the words that came at you, the lies that talked about you, all the rumors, all the judgment, everything that came at you, even those kidney punches, you know, the ones you get from behind. Oh, hey. Make you want to say, hey, hold up now. But every now and then in a fight, you get a low blow. You got to catch your breath. Y'all see? You've got to catch your breath. And when you regain your composure, the best way to get your breath is to stand up. Not to be laying down. Stand up. See, when you stand up, his breath enters you. When you're down and you feel like you're out, his right hand reaches down. And he and he picks you up. He says, this ain't over yet. Until you hear the sound of the trumpets blowing, then you'll know to look up into the clouds. Then the Son of Man shall return, riding on a cloud of glory. We think just because all kinds of things are happening, oh, the end is near, the end is near. Baby, it's been near for 2,000 years. What's more near now than ever before is a release of His Shekinah glory. His abiding presence. It will enter in where? Into the temple. Why does it enter into the temple that you can't even stand to minister? Because you have gone through a season. You have gone through some stuff. When you look back, say, my God, I have come through a whole bunch. And all that stuff that I've been through, I had to call on Jesus. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to even get in my word anymore. But I said, there's something about the name of Jesus that when I call on His name, He will answer me. And now the Shekinah glory is about to be released through the temple of the Most High God. And that those that pursue Him and seek Him first, putting all the silliness aside, shutting their mouth, and just pressing in. Woo! They will experience the presence of God like never before. I said, Lord, I'm going to walk around. I'm going to walk all over and see, wow, I've been through a battle. I've been through something. But I can turn around and say, but You're the one that upheld me. Remember that night when He were in soaking, He says, let me heal Your wounds. Let me dress Your wounds. You're so busy licking Your wounds. Let me heal Your wounds. I began to look back and I said, Lord, you have brought me from a long way. And I thank God I'm not who I used to be. The battle did not break me, and the season did not stop me. The battle did not break me, and the season did not stop me. The seed is still in the barn. Oh, y'all gonna miss this one. I wanna go. Is it right if I go deep? Can I go deep? Can I go deep for a minute? All right, now look here. Turn with me to Haggai 2. Real quick. If you're not there, just take notes. And if you're not the type of person that takes notes, take notes. Haggai 2, 15 through 19. The NIV reads this way. Watch this. Haggai 2, verse 15 through 19, NIV reads, now give careful thought to this form this day. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to the heap of 20 measures, there was only 10. When anyone went to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there was only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. Verse 18. From this day on, say it with me, from this day on, from the 24th day of the ninth month, gives careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Is there not any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. Isn't that beautiful? I want you to look to your neighbor and say, is there not seed in the barn? Look to you at the neighbor and say, is there not seed in the barn? Oh, Lord. I feel maybe you're going to miss this. Some of you will catch it, and some of you will learn about it later. When Jesus was born, they found him wrapped in cloth and in a manger. Jesus was the seed that was sent here on earth. And the seed was in the barn. The seed was in the barn. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. In the hardships of your birth, the seed comes in the barn. So in Haggai, the prophet is speaking. He's speaking to them what the Lord is telling them they should have done long ago. Haggai is such a long chapter. It's one of those books that I say, oh, I'll read that book. He speaks to them and tells them three times, thus saith the Lord. Who does he speak to? The leadership. Who? He speaks to the leadership and tells them, hey. Out of my Bible, it reads this way. Look at here. I've been telling you, not once, already twice now. Put my house first. Put me first. You so busy worried about your house, but you're not putting my house first. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be with you this time. Did y'all miss that one? You see, they spoke about rebuilding the temple, but never built it. And then he comes in and he speaks to the prophet. He tells him, go speak to them. He goes and tells him, thus saith the Lord to the leaders. Put me first. Put me first. You've been toying and working and trying to do all this with the seeds that you have. But it's not producing. So then he comes back again in the same month. Oh, Lord, how many of us would love God to come and speak to us twice in 1 month? Twice in 1 month, he spoke to him. Sometimes we go to church, we don't even get a word. Because we're so busy about our stuff that we miss the seed. And then he says again, watch this, he lets a month go by. And he speaks again to him. Wait a minute, now you're going to speak to them again? I wish you would come and speak to me. How many of us will know how to get in his presence and just wait? I'm going to wait. No, you ain't. You won't complain. Because it's microwave Christianity. I got to put a timing on it. Got to put a timing on it so it'll happen quickly. Got to put extra seed in my offering so it'll happen quickly. I'll accept them. Thank you. But but here's the thing. We get impatient. Can you imagine how they were building? And they're like, Troy, vente para acá. Hey. It's hora de lunch. Vamos a esperar ahorita. We're going to wait. It's lunchtime. Hold on. Instead of working to rebuild it. How many of us make excuses not to do what God already told us to do? Because we don't like to labor. What did Lionel say? He didn't like to do the labor outside. See, he wasn't in my notes. And I wasn't in his. But God had to speak to the people to rebuild the temple. But their houses looked good. They took care of everything. Matter of fact, it describes it there. They're paneling. Mira. We're going to go back to paneling. No, we're not going to go back. So he tells him, you're so caught up with making your house look good. You got to keep up to date with all the fashions. Mm-hmm. While my house sits in ruins. Now, that's cool. We can get that rebuke. Okay, I'm sorry. Hey, you're first, God. So then they continue on. And this time he says, you know what? Hold on. All the silver and gold are mine. Don't miss this. This is why I believe the people of God needed to be encouraged. Who was around in this season that was able to look back when Solomon's temple was built? Oh, the most splendid of temples ever built. Outside was gold, inside was gold, beautiful ornaments, wonderful curtains, all the instruments. Watch what was happening to these people. Because as they were building, they didn't have the gold and silver. Don't miss this. We don't want to build and we don't want to do what God tells us to do until we get all our provisions. We don't want to do for others until we get blessed first. We don't want to go pray for others until God heals us first. We don't want to go and reach out to others until people reach out to us. We don't want to go and do something that's going to cause us to sacrifice. So he asked them in this word, who among you remember the former house? Why do you tell him that? He waited not so that the elders, the former generation, would pass on. He waited till they were able to recognize, man, back then, y'all didn't see Solomon's temple like we saw it. Mm-mm, you didn't see it like we did. Oh, Lord, they had that gold everywhere. Shoot, Christians back in the day, believers, they had some money. Now, Christians, well, mm-hmm. So that's why you a little discouraged about building this temple. It's not as big and beautiful and full of splendor like the former. See, he had to encourage them. Because what you're trying to build is not looking what you thought was going to be like before. So he tells them, get back to work and build on my foundation. And when I read that about the foundation, I understand construction. Your house can fall. Everything that you put in it can be. But what still stands? The foundation of truth. Now, if your foundation is cracked. Mm-hmm. If your foundation is cracked, then when the rains come and the heat comes and the winter comes, the seasons come, the foundation becomes warped. Twisted. If your foundation in the word and your foundation in your faith is not set right, when you go through a season, you'll get warped. You'll get twisted. And you can no longer build on it. But we need to have someone to look at and say, oh, but the mere fact that you want to do it, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And then, as he gets their attention, says, yeah, it's not like Solomon's temple. We don't have everything we need to build. We don't have the resources to build a bigger sanctuary to make it look like everybody should go to that house. But this is what God said through the prophet. Oh, but the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former house. He wasn't talking about the outside elements. He was talking about his presence in the house. Oh, Lord. Mm-mm. We want the church to look so nice and beautiful so that the outside folks will come into church. But if he's not in the house and his presence is not with the people, ain't nobody gonna come to the house. So you can try to build it the way you want to build it. Have it the way everybody has it. But if his presence is not there, ain't nobody going to come. And the pastor said, I ain't going. Shoot, you ain't there. I ain't going. See, I'm telling you something that God is building on the foundation. But you've been through some stuff. The battles that could have broken you didn't break you. It bruised you. It didn't break you. But in the bruising process, y'all remember about that? Yeah. A bruise is nothing but old blood that has come to the surface. Where new blood comes in and pushes out the old. Gets rid of the old and brings in the new. But it only comes through the bruising of the blows. Have you been bruised? Have you taken some blows? Then know that God is getting ready to move some of the old stuff out of the way. But more importantly, he's going to tell you, I'm here and I'll be with you always. Oh, suck it now. When God begins to speak to me about being with me at all times, I know that my season is not here to take me out. My season's here to take me in. And if we could put God first and be the foundation that we build upon in his temple, watch what God will do. We got to put things first in everything that he is God. He is Lord. He is first. Don't even let me get started on your tithe. If I was to show you the statistics on the tithe, and how many Christians today believe it's an Old Testament principle. Oh, that was done away with in the Old Testament. So then was the law? No. He was to tell you when Jesus comes in on the New Testament, the New Covenant, he says it's a better covenant. And he tells them, you robbed me. Oh, how? With your tithes and your offerings. You see, we got to put God first in everything. And when you get an increase, don't let me get started on the first fruits. Some of y'all, how many of y'all expecting an increase, a raise, a promotion? You know what first fruits was? When you got that increase, you gave the whole thing. Lord. Lord. I worked hard for this one. I work hard for my man. What do you mean I'm going to give you the whole thing? Well, that's an old teaching. That's Old Testament. That ain't new. That's why he spoke to him. He says, oh, I hold all the gold and silver. The more important thing that you really want is my presence. But the mere fact you stood up and started doing, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And then he asked the wonderful question. What is that question? Is there not any seed left in the barn? How many of you have been holding on to what the Lord has spoken to you? You've been holding on? It's been hard, hasn't it? Feels like you've been holding something that's been very heavy. And you feel like you're being weighed down. And there's no end. But it's building strength. It's building your character. But if you're still responding to the way you were, you know, I don't have to tell you. If you're still responding the way your old self, the old self, don't want to change, don't want to accept change, then let me tell you, you're going to go through another season. Dealing with the same thing. That's just proof. Where's that proof? With the Israelites in the wilderness. They were stiff-necked. So I told God, in this turn of a new season to a new calendar year, I mean, whatever you want to do with me, you want to break me, break me. Oh, if you want to slow me down, slow me down. If you want to put me on pause, put me on pause. Because I know eventually you're going to press play. Because you're going to show me some things about me. And as you show me things about me,
you reveal more of you. You understand? So this season, we've got to make that turn. Now ask yourself, is there any seed left in the barn? Ask yourself that. Are you still holding on to the seed? Go to Philippians 4:10, please. Philippians 4:10. Philippians 4:10 through 13. I'm going to read it out of the English Standard Version. Philippians 4:10 through verses 13. I'll begin reading at verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have received your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I'm here to tell you that everything that you have done, went through, going through, about to go through, will be for his glory. Amen. And when you don't think that you're going to come out, he's going to show you that there is a light deep inside of you that will shine through the darkness. And he will change the very thing, because now the foundation is being dealt with. There is still seed in the barn. There is seed in the barn for a reason. Because the barn represents the storage place of seed. Oh, watch now. Did not Joseph prepare the cisterns for the seeds, the harvest? We have got to prepare for what's about to happen. Oh, we've got to prepare. There's about to be an increase. There's about to be an increase. Now you're going to be saying to yourself, well, what kind of increase is it? Well, it could come through adversity. It could come through persecution. But the increase is coming in the barn, in your spirit, where the seed that is inside of you becomes more manifest. And as it manifests, it's going to go through a process. You've been going through a process. You remember I spoke to you on Wednesday night about the fire. Remember the fire, the representation of Santa Claus and Jesus together, the fire. The only way you're going to ever see your gifts manifest is in the fire. The only way you're ever going to be able to walk through the walk that you're going through is by walking through the fire. And in the seed is everything you need for your harvest. But before that seed produces, you've got to understand that God is with you. He is with you through and through. When you know he's with you, even though persecution comes, the pressures of life, you can look back over your walk and say, whew, I should have been taken out right there. That should have been the day right there that I should have just quit. But that was a day that he came through. Remember that day when it seemed like it wasn't going to get any better? Seemed like everything was going to shut down around you. Like you were going to lose everything you had. And God steps right on in. Tells you, I got you. Even though it may feel like it's the last minute, I got you. Oh, yeah. We may be coming to to the end of the year of 2015. But 2016 will be a year of manifestation, increase, and rebuilding. I want you to hear this. Manifestation, increase, and rebuilding. Now, some people are going to get blessed in many different ways. Some may be money, health,
Restoration of family members. Restoration of people back into your life. Relationships. Ministries. But there's going to be an increase that's going to come. It's going to be an increase of his presence. An increase of his glory. And his manifest presence in your life. That will make a change in your walk. Because the seed is still in the barn. The seed is in the barn. Now, I had a grandma that lived out in the country. She had all kinds of animals on the farm. She had a barn. In this barn, she had chickens. A whole bunch of them. And then on this other side of where the chickens were at, I would go over there and it was a door that would close it off. It was made out of brick all the way around, not these red barns. You can see, oh, I mean, they're beautiful, they're red, they're pretty. No, these were made out of stone. And the only door that was in front was the little chicken wire gate. And for the chickens, it was chicken wire all the way to the top. And so he said, when you go in and go get the eggs for me, you know, the brown eggs. He says, before you reach in, you might want to check something. I said, what are you talking about? He says, just because the chicken hasn't been eaten or killed doesn't mean that the snake isn't there. How many of you have been out there in the barns with the chickens? So I went with my granddad. I was a little kid. I didn't know nothing. I wanted to go play with the chickens. So I went into the barn with my granddad. He walked in and he picked up the chicken, grabbed the eggs, and put that chicken down. Grabbed the next one, made the chicken, grabbed the eggs, put it down, put it in the basket. We got to this one that was further in the corner. He says, careful, I want you to back up. Well, you know, knucklehead me. Why? Wanted to get closer. You know how you are. You want to see what's going on, even though danger's there. Mm-hmm. Gotta get closer. So he lifts up the chicken. That's why I can't stand snakes. He lifts up the chicken, and this rattlesnake was in there. Now, you think about it now. Well, that rattlesnake should have killed the chicken. But the chicken was keeping the snake warm. You see, oh God, you see, the snake is not always out to kill you. Sometimes the snake was just going to use you to keep itself warm for its purpose. And so when he picked up the chicken, it was lying underneath being kept warm. So what he did is he grabbed the snake. He grabbed it and he slung it against the wall. Real fast. See, the snake was asleep.
They missed it.
You see, the enemy will come in into your domain and get real comfortable and not disturb you. But in that time of waiting, it falls asleep that you can take hold of it and throw it against the wall and you can get rid of the deceiver that's trying to take your seed. Wow! He's here to tell you, I got you. I'm in your presence at all times. What you think you can't do, I'm with you. I have caused the enemy to slumber in your presence that you can reach and touch the serpent and get rid of it. For if it was to bite you, it wouldn't harm you. You can tread on scorpions and serpents. I have given you authority. It is the seed that is still in the barn. Oh, I was scared. Yeah. Grandma didn't tell you about that one for a reason. But I learned something now that I'm older. I can get analogies from when I was younger. What does that mean? When I was younger, I didn't have an understanding. When I got older, I could look back and see what the Lord was trying to show me then. Go do a walk around, walk about, and take notice where I brought you from. Take notice of how I was there with you. I said, Lord, I got it now. Oh, I got it now. So I figured, okay, that's the only thing I got to worry about. It's just a snake. So y'all don't know my grandma. She's with the Lord now. And I think he's been laughing at her for a while. See, living out in the country, she didn't wear shoes. She walked around barefooted. See, I didn't know that these little things that have little pinchers at the end and had a tail that go over like this. Scorpions. I didn't know anything about that. I'm a city boy. See, my mom don't know a lot of these things. So I'm walking into the kitchen. Grandma's cooking. And she turns around. What was that? I said, Grandma, what's that? Ah, it's a scorpion. What did I do? Is it alive? She goes, no, I stepped on it. Oh, so they won't hurt you? She goes, oh, no. They'll sting you. Why come in and sting you? She goes, I'm not afraid of them. Am I telling you the truth? All those scorpions in her house. And she stepped on it. Watch this. I look back now, and I see that scripture come to mind. I can tread on scorpions. You see, in the barn, there's some seeds still left there. Oh, but in the barn, there's some other things there too. Watch this. Touch yourself right here. Touch yourself right here. In your belly button. Belly button. Belly button. Right here. Right here. That's your spirit, man. In your spirit, the seed is there. Watch this. In the same place, beyond that spirit, is your soul, mind, will, and emotions. And in your soulless realm, there's some critters there that can sting you, strike at you, and cause damage. But if you never deal with those critters there, you can't be liberated to what God has for you. Isn't that something? So now I look back. Oh, the seed is in the barn. The seed is in the barn. Jesus was born in a barn. And they presented him with gifts. Not in the barn. In the house. I'm just trying to tell you something. You're going to go through a season that you'll begin to grow in God. It may start off in a barn. But then God will have you transition into the house. Because you're building his house. His house. As you build his house, he's building your house. You see, all of the bruising and all of the battles didn't break you. It was there purposely to build you. Your seasons didn't stop you. It was there to strengthen you. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, is there seed in the barn? Look to your other neighbor. Look to your other neighbor. Is there seed in the barn? Say it's going to come forth. Oh, it's going to produce. Oh, it's going to produce now. It's going to produce now. Because the Bible says in that scripture, I will bless you from now on. Because when you put God first and you dig deep into that barn, that seed will produce its harvest in its time. Because what is about to come forth is the fruitfulness of God, and you're going to see such a tremendous blessing that will manifest in your life. It's called His presence, His glory. My God. Why do we go through what we go through? So we can look back and say, if it had not been for the Lord, I wouldn't have made it. If it hadn't been for the Lord on my side, I couldn't come out for the next round. I would have sat down and called it quits. But the mere fact that I'm still standing lets me know that I'm not in this thing alone. Even though so many things come your way, oh, I want you to look at this. You're not doing this alone. He's right there with you. He's going to fight with you to give you the victory over the battle. But every fight that comes your way, you're going to get hit. But you're going to learn how to. What's up? You almost had me. But I learned from the last round. I learned from the last round, this ain't going to affect me. Because you ain't seen who's in my corner. Oh, my trainer is the Holy Spirit. Oh, he's the one that knows all things. He's telling me your strategies. Oh, he's standing in the high towers looking to see what you're going to do. And then the mere fact that he's telling me, you ain't going to hit me no more. You may have to find another way to come at me. But I got someone in the tower, in the corner, looking out for me. See, in my walkabout, I learned something. God, you've been with me all along. Even when I didn't know you were there, you were right there with me. Oh, you're going to turn some things around. Oh, you're going to turn some things around. You're going to teach me a new way. You're going to teach me a new way on how to fight. A new way on how to win wars. You're going to teach me a new way on how to grow in you. Because there's something in the barn. Seed. Are you still standing? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm still standing. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm standing. And I'm waiting for all of my seed to produce in its season. Now I want you to go and touch five people and tell them, my seed is producing. Go on, go touch five people. My seed is producing. My seed is producing. Go touch, go touch, go touch. My seed is producing. My seed is producing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Seed is producing. Hallelujah. All right, all right. Is your seed producing?